Today on Real Life Radio.
And I want to ask you today, what is it that you believe? That is the greatest question you can ever be asked. Every other question wanes in comparison compared to what I'm about to ask you. Who is Jesus Christ?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message now called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 5, continues his series called The Why Series. You know, if we want the Holy Spirit to lead our lives, it's a conscious decision and choice that we need to make each and every day. What does that look like in the life of the believer? It's when we watch, when we listen, and when we pray for the Spirit to guide us to God's purpose for our lives. Every day can be a day of passion and fulfillment when we allow the Holy Spirit complete access to our hearts and minds, to pause and reflect on what's really going on inside of us, and to stop to consider what the Holy Spirit really is trying to tell us. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to ask the question, who is Jesus Christ? How you answer? Well, that can be either the ultimate act of pride that is beyond Christ's forgiveness, or you can humble yourself and follow him with all of your heart. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 5, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This is absolutely monumental. The religious leadership, the custodians of the Bible of the Old Testament, when prophecy was standing in front of them, even Pilate, a Roman Gentile, says, "Behold your king." They get furious and they about lose their mind. Another gospel tells us that they went mad or angry with madness. And they said, "Crucify him." The word, by the way, implies in the original Greek language of the New Testament that grit or grinding the teeth, gnashing the teeth with anger. They're so upset. "Away with him, away with him." They're shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." And it's almost as though God is trying to speak through Pilate to them and slap them with some reality. "Wait, you want me to crucify your king?" And they said, "Absolutely. Because you know what? Our king is Caesar. And I don't know, but just thinking that in my head, the word coming out of their mouth, these were the representatives of God to the people and the people to God for Israel." And they said, "Caesar's our king." They're out of their minds. They've lost it. And you say, why is that so important? Because listen, please get this. This is not denial. These guys are not denying Jesus Christ like Peter did in a moment or a season of weakness. This is not denial. This is absolute flagrant rejection of the doctrine and of the person of Christ and the works of God. You say, "I thought we were talking about the Holy Spirit." Just hang on. It's not denial. You need to mark this down, because some of you feel like you've committed the unpardonable sin because at some point in time, you knew Christ was asking you to stand up and say something or get up and do something, and you didn't do it, and you feel like you've committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Well, you didn't. In a moment of weakness, you denied Christ. That's forgivable. Just ask Peter. No, I'm talking about rejection. Mark chapter 3, verse 22. Mark 3, 22 is Mark's account of this unpardonable act of sin. "And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem." So mark this. These are educated scholars of the Old Testament. "They came down from Jerusalem and said, 'He, that is Jesus, has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons, he cast out demons.'" Verse 23, Mark 3, verse 23. "So Jesus called them to himself and said to them in parables." Follow with me. "How can Satan cast out Satan?" Now, this is Mark's account. We read Matthew's. Here's Mark's. "If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his goods. Again, this is Mark's account of Matthew's account as well. Assuredly, I say to you, that's Jesus. By the way, Jesus never said, thus saith the Lord. I love that. Not once did Jesus ever say, thus saith the Lord. Remember the Old Testament prophets would say, thus saith the Lord. And they would give forth their prophecy. Jesus never did that. Not once. You want to know why? Because he was the Lord. That's why he said, and I say to you. I love that. And I say to you. And Jesus says to them, all sins will be forgiven of the sons of men. And whatever blasphemies they may utter, but he who blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation or damnation. Verse 30, because they said, he's going to give us the answer now. Here's the answer. You say, Jack, what was the answer? What happened? What caused Jesus to say that? Here it is. Are you ready? Here it is. Because they said he has an unclean spirit. You say, that's the answer? Well, what about all the time that I said terrible things about the Holy Spirit when I was an unbeliever? Here's the difference. You said what you said, but it was not yet, as we'll see in a moment, a doctrine of your belief system. You were absolutely ignorant about the power and the mercy and the grace and the word and the will of God. You were an unbeliever, you didn't know, and you sinned in ignorance. You knew you shouldn't talk like that. You were cursing and cussing, but you didn't understand. These guys are the custodians of the Bible itself, and they knew all the prophetic words of God. They knew from other portions of Scripture. They knew the scandal about his life for 33 years. They knew that this was the one that prophets had been speaking about. This was the one who was born in Bethlehem. We remember being told by our dads and by our grandpas that there were rumors about angels appearing at his birth. And all of the stuff that they knew that. And they could have gone right to Isaiah, right to Micah, right to Psalms, and they would have been able to look right into the Bible. They knew the Bible, and they weren't in denial of the Bible. They rejected the Bible. They rejected the witness of God. So when we talk about this sin being beyond Christ's forgiveness, we're talking about the reason why is what they had in their hearts. What was their mode of belief? What is it that they believed? And I want to ask you today, what is it that you believe? That is the greatest question you can ever be asked. Every other question wanes in comparison compared to what I'm about to ask you. Who is Jesus Christ? Whose son is he? Was the question Jesus said of himself. Think of it. That's the greatest question you'll ever be asked. Who's Jesus Christ? And you better have the answer. If you don't know the answer, you need to stay tuned to this message right now. God will only accept one answer. These believed in their heart a particular way of thinking. And that thinking was, he has an unclean spirit. They weren't saying that to be mean. They weren't saying that to be accurate in their minds. Nope. They believed Jesus was operating under the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's beyond Christ's forgiveness. It's what they believed about Christ. That this particular sin is directed at Christ. Yes, listen. But the vehicle or mode or minister of salvation in this world to you and I right now is none other than the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will come and exalt all that Christ has done and the words that he has spoken. They were in the position of being beyond Christ's forgiveness because they were committing and staying committed to death, this sin that is unpardonable. That's extremely important. Secondly, mark this down. What is the unpardonable sin? It is the sin that is the ultimate act of pride. The ultimate act of pride. You know, listen, Christianity, as far as I know, Christianity is the only faith group in the world that I'm aware that this is true of. In Christianity, our arch enemy to ourselves and to our brothers and sisters and vice versa one another is an attitude or a heart of pride. It is, according to Christianity, according to the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, it is the worst sin of all, pride. Pride is behind all other sin. Are you manipulating somebody right now with sweet talk? It's because of pride in your heart. Are you using somebody at the job to get this at a better rate for the other thing? And rather than being a good businessman or woman, you're manipulating them for your own gain? Why? Pride. Why are you trying to get into that thing and you just can't live without it. You're gonna steal, cheat, and whatever it takes. You gotta get into that system, or you gotta get into USC or Harvard. You gotta get in there. What is it? Pride. Pride. Pride's the number one thing in Christianity that is the outright sin. And you say, well, I thought you just said the unforgivable sins, the big, it is the biggest, but the foundation of it is pride. They would not believe. Why? Because of pride. And pride traffics in and out of the human heart. Don't even think for a moment that you're humble. If you think for a moment, if you are impressed with how humble you are probably in the top 10 most prideful people on earth. I'm so humble. I'm so humble. Oh, it's, you don't worry. I'm just humble. That's sick. You think like that? That's ultimate pride, man. That's crazy. When you are running low on pride, which is a good thing, you probably might in a very healthy way think like this. Hey, I know there's enough pride in me that makes God sick because what I see in me makes me sick. And so, God, I just pray that you would just take hold of my hands and my feet and my mind and my tongue and my eyes and just walk me day by day, God, because I don't trust me in this world without you. I need you, God. I can't live without you. Recognize the pride that's in you, and rather than hug it, resist it. These guys wouldn't do that. And the person that has committed or is committing the unpardonable sin, they could never think like that. They're the authority. They've got it right. They may not believe anything for sure, but they reject Christ. The ultimate display of pride. It's pride. Serious pride. Here's a fearful example. I'm going to read. This is a huge chunk. Grab your Bibles. Turn to Matthew 23. It's a huge portion. Turn there. Follow along. I'm reading out of the New King James Version Bible. New King James Version. By the way, while you're turning there, Matthew 23, a lot of people are writing me and asking me, what is my favorite study Bible? And it's the Moody Publishers. I think it's Moody. It's out of print now, but you can still find them. Ryrie, R-Y-R-I-E, Ryrie, Charles C. Ryrie, Study Bible, New King James Version specifically is what I love. They've been out of print for decades. I've collected them because when they went out of print, I started buying them. I saw one for sale two nights ago. I told my wife, look at this. But I saw one for sale for $2,000 on eBay, $2,000. And then, listen, you can buy them. People don't know what they got. And people buy them. You can buy them for $59, $60. Okay, I stalled long enough. Matthew 23, verse 13. Everybody look down. Follow along with me. You're going to hear pride being addressed by Jesus Christ. To the scribes and Pharisees, mind you, the religious hierarchy. You ready? Matthew 23, 13. Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one convert, and when you have won him, you make him twice as much as a son of hell as you are yourselves. Woe to you, scribes or blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it's nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he's obliged to perform it. Fools, blind. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? It's the temple is what Jesus is saying, not the gold. And verse 18, whoever swears by the altar is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools, blind. For which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. Verse 22, and he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Can you believe, church, this is Jesus speaking? Oh, Jesus, meek and mild. Not when it comes to confronting pride. He's speaking directly to pride right now. For you pay tithe in mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matter of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. That's fleshly pursuits. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men. This is why God hates religious. Pride's bad enough, but self-righteousness just causes God to vomit. Think of that. But inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers of them in the blood of the prophets. Verse 31, therefore you are witnesses against yourself that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Verse 32, fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, yikes, he's really turning it up. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, I send you prophets. Listen, I don't want to get derailed. I'll just say this quickly. That is a declaration out of the mouth of Jesus regarding his deity. Boom, slam dunk, over and out. Jesus says it, I sent to you, Israel, your prophets. That's thousands of years of prophets. Wise men I've sent, scribes, some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, who you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, Jesus says, all these things will come upon this generation. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Here it is. Wait for it. But you were not willing. That's it. You're not willing. You hear it? You saw it? You've heard my preaching. Jesus is saying, you watch the miracles and you absolutely reject the reality of who I am. You say, Pastor, you know, you're getting all excited. I've never killed anybody. That doesn't apply to me. I've never acted like that. Let me ask you something. Who's Jesus Christ? Who is he? Who's Jesus? Your answer, if your answer is not the right answer, your answer is just as bad as these scribes and Pharisees. And if you die without having the right answer, then you are exactly guilty of committing the unpardonable sin. If you remain in that way, you will die in your sins and you'll be outside the bounds of Christ's redemption and Christ's salvation. Listen up, everyone. A lot of you have been lied to that there's some form of salvation after death. That's nowhere in the Bible. That's made up by people. You cannot find that in the Bible. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It's very important you understand that. There's a difference between ignorance and willful ignorance. If you're ignorant because you don't know, that can be fixed. But if you know the way and you're not denying it, you're rejecting it. That's different. That's called willful ignorance. You know that the one is in front of you to save you, but you won't even look at him. You won't even call out to him. If you die like that, you're committing the blasphemy sin of the Holy Spirit. This will develop more. Thirdly, jot this down. It is the sin that is, listen, faith in reverse. Faith in reverse. Instead of faith going forward, as God engineered it to be experienced normally. Watch, everyone. I have to exaggerate this somehow. I don't want to sound corny when I say this, because it sounds so empty, but it's true. Every human being has this, what is said, a Christ-shaped hole in their heart. And that's a really fun thing to say to kids. They get it. Adults kind of like, oh, that's really lame. But let me put it to you this way. Every human being knows inside they're lost to some degree or another. They know they're not found. They know they're lost. And they know that their life is empty. Inside of every person that is thinking, there's this thought of there's got to be more to life and there's got to be life after death. It's plaguing me. That thought is driving me. That is from God. And faith normally moves forward to find the answer. This sin is faith in reverse. It sees the answer. It sees the foundation of who faith should be placed in, and it pulls away from him. It recoils back from him. There's people on their deathbeds, and you invite them to know Jesus, and they go, get out of the hospital, get out of here. They get angry.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 5. Glad you could join us today. You know, The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 5, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life and gives us a process where we can logically reason together while looking to God for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, do you have a close friend who's different from you in almost every way? A friendship that on the outside seems unlikely, but on the inside, it makes perfect sense. Well, there once was a printer and a preacher who came from separate countries and followed different philosophies, but not only became fast friends, but they were two of the most famous men in America. The printer was hardworking, inventive, often quite funny, and yet practical with humble manners. And the preacher, on the other hand, he was boisterous, often gathering outdoor crowds by the thousands, proclaiming that you must be born again to get into the kingdom of heaven. Who were these two men who together established both the spiritual and the social foundations for young America? Pastor Jack's book of the month for October is The Printer and the Preacher by Randy Peterson. It's the story of the powerful and amazing friendship of Benjamin Franklin and George Whitefield. The Printer and the Preacher is not only inspiring, but it's a book that you'll want to get an extra copy of to share with your close friend. And who knows, maybe together you can help make the world a better place as you share the love of Jesus Christ to those around you. The Printer and the Preacher by Randy Peterson is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, that's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.